I want to bring a meditation from some verses in the Old Testament that speak about the cross and the effect of the cross. The passage that I want to read and speak on briefly is in Micah chapter 7 and verses 18 to 20, and it's in page 781 of the Church Bibles. I'm sure you know this passage, very familiar passage, and I've been meditating much on it this week, and I thought I'd just like to bring some thoughts from it before we come to the table. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 to 20, and speaks about the effect of the cross. Let me just read those verses for you. This is what Micah wrote. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. What happened at the cross of Calvary? Why did Jesus die, this truly remarkable event where they led him to Golgotha, the place of the skull, and they put him on a cross and they nailed him to that cross, and he hung upon that cross as they riled him, they stood by him and riled him and ridiculed him. He hung upon that cross, and then finally when he had finished his work, he surrendered his spirit to God and he cried out, "It is finished." What happened there? Why did Jesus Christ die? What do we learn from his cross? Well, I want to briefly bring three things for you this morning from this passage. In this passage, Micah is speaking about the cross. He doesn't mention the cross, but he's speaking about the cross, and he's speaking about the effects of the cross. He is saying to us, the cross of Calvary will bring certain blessings to you. This is why Jesus died. Jesus died so that we might be blessed. It was his will that the blessings of heaven from the heart of God should be poured upon us, and we should be a blessed and a joyful people. This was his intention in dying for us. And Micah in this passage speaks about the blessings of Calvary. So three things briefly this morning from Micah. And the first is this, that the cross brings forgiveness of sin graciously. The cross brings forgiveness of sin graciously. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression? Pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression. Now, when you read a passage in the Old Testament prophets, actually, when you read a passage in any part of the Bible, you must always remember the context. Never take a passage out of its context. If you take it out of its context, you rob it of its riches. You rob your soul of enormous blessings. Micah was prophesying at a time when sin among God's people was probably at its worst. We know the history of Israel at the time when Micah was sent to the people of God. And the people of God had departed from God. They had departed from the law of God. They had departed from true worship of God. And they had departed into the sins of the worst kind at the time that this prophecy was written. If you read some of the earlier passages, there is language in this prophecy that will shock you, because it is the language of cannibalism. Micah actually accuses the Jews of cannibalism, of eating human flesh. Now, this wasn't literal. It wasn't that literally they were cooking and eating human beings. But what was happening was there was a big division in society between the rich and the poor. This shouldn't have been there. The law of Moses had laws in it that allowed for the poor to be helped and made sure that there wasn't a massive economic division between the rich and the poor. There were all these provisions in the law of Moses for the provision of widows, for the provision of the poor, for the provision of those who were in debt, and so on. But the people did not obey the law, and so this massive division occurred. The rich were very, very rich, and the poor were very, very poor. And the rich exploited the poor. And the exploitation was so dreadful that Micah says it's rather like cannibalism. He says to these wealthy landowners, he says, you've got these huge lands that you've actually acquired through illicit means. And you then hire workers to work in your land. You hire the poor, and they have no choice but to come and work in your land. And you exploit them. You're not fair employers. You don't have the welfare of your workers at heart. You're exploiting them, and the exploitation is so severe, it's so bad, it's exactly like you're bringing in these workers into your house and eating their flesh. It's rather like cannibalism. This is the kind of people to whom Micah writes. And this is the very, these are the last words of his prophecy. The words, the verses that I read for you, 18 to 20, are the three last verses of his prophecy. So how does Micah end his prophecy? Does Micah end his prophecy by saying, God is going to damn all of you to hell? No. Micah says, you are in your sins. You are in the worst of sins. You are committing the most dreadful sins. But there is a God in heaven whose heart is filled with grace and mercy and love towards the most undeserving, towards the worst of sinners. And he offers to these worst of sinners the greatest of blessings. And he says, if you would only turn from these terrible practices, if you would repent of exploiting the poor, and you would come to God, you will find in God grace and mercy, because who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He says to them, if you would come to him, you will find that he is filled with mercy. Indeed, this passage says he delights to show mercy. There is, I've made this point before from this pulpit, there is in the heart of God a natural bias. There is a bias towards love and mercy and grace, and there's a bias away from judgment and condemnation. Now God does judge and God does condemn, and there is a hell. We're not denying any of that. But you'll never read in the Bible that God delights to condemn. You'll never read that. That God delights to judge and God delights to cast people into hell. You don't read that. You read that God delights to show mercy. You read that when one sinner repents, there is rejoicing in heaven among the angels. But you never read that when one sinner goes into hell, there is rejoicing in heaven. I believe that there is great mourning in heaven when a sinner goes into hell. Because it doesn't delight God's heart. God's heart delights in mercy. So the cross brings forgiveness of sin graciously. It is a gracious forgiveness. Secondly, the cross brings forgiveness of sin eternally. It brings forgiveness of sin eternally. Verse 19, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. There is a Hebrew word which means to drop. You know, you take something and you drop it. But there is also a Hebrew word which means to hurl something. And that's the word that Micah uses here. Micah doesn't say, you will drop our sins into the depths of the sea. Micah says, you will hurl our sins into the depths of the sea. There is a permanency here. There's an eternality here. That God, when He forgives, God forgives. And He forgives eternally. This is the language, you see. He's using human language to try and get through to these people. That once God is forgiven, God is forgotten, God does not bring up our sins again. If you're a Christian here this morning, your sins are gone. They're forgiven. Christ has dealt with them. Christ has paid the penalty for them. Christ has washed you in His blood. And Christ has removed all your sins. And Christ has taken them all upon Himself. And Christ has suffered for them. And Christ has died for them. And your forgiveness is an eternal forgiveness. There will never come a day while you live here on earth when God will dig up some sin of yours and say, you did this, didn't you? That will never happen. It won't happen while you're here on earth. It won't happen on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, God will not dig up your sins and say to you, well, you know, you did this, you did this, you did this. That will not happen. And it will not happen when you're in heaven. He will never come to you and say, while you were on earth, you did this. They're gone. They're gone because they have been hurled into the bottom of the sea. Now, I've said this before and I'll say it again. God has put a no fishing sign there. Do not dredge up your sins and beat yourself up and wallow in guilt because you are denying Christ when you do that. Do not enjoy wallowing in your sins. I am such a dreadful person. I did this and it was terrible. I did that and it was terrible. I did this and it was terrible. I'm a terrible person. I'm a terrible person. There is no honor to God in that. That is not Christianity. I don't know what that is. It's not Christianity. I don't recognize it as biblical Christianity. There is a no fishing sign. Don't dredge up your sins. God has removed them. Praise God. You have been forgiven. Live a forgiven life. Because they are gone. So the cross brings forgiveness of sin graciously. The cross brings forgiveness of sin eternally. And thirdly and finally, the cross brings us into the family of God. The cross brings us into the family of God. In the verses 18 and 19, he speaks about the forgiveness of sin. And then verse 20, the last verse, he speaks about what happens to people who have been forgiven. And he says in verse 20, you will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. He says to these people of Israel who were exploiting their workers and cannibalizing them, he says to them, if you were to come to God today and if you were to repent of your sins and stop all that exploitation, and ask God for mercy, God will forgive you all your sins. God will hurl your sins into the bottoms of the sea. And God will bring you into His family. And God will be faithful to you. And God will pour steadfast love upon you. You will become the subject of His love. Your relationship with Him will be a relationship of love. His Spirit will come and live in you. And His Spirit will bring love into your heart. And His Spirit will shed the love of Jesus into your heart. And your heart will be filled with joy because He loves you. And His love will be an eternal love. If you're a Christian here this morning, one thing is true of you. God loves you. God is for you. God is delighted with you. God is thrilled that you're a child of His and you're in His kingdom. He is thrilled that He has saved you and brought you into His kingdom and is delighted that you are in the fellowship of His people. God is not against you. And God is not some demanding father who is always disappointed in His children. No, He loves His people. And there is that phrase that occurs so often in the Old Testament, you will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham. Steadfast love, consistent love, not love that's up and down, not love that is dependent upon our works, but a steadfast love that flows from his heart. So the cross of Christ brings forgiveness of sin graciously. It brings forgiveness of sin eternally. And it brings us into the family of God eternally. Praise God for the cross of Calvary.